Blog Talk Radio.
Just that.
Freedomizer Radio
presents.
Night, everyone, and welcome to Guerrilla Radio. Austin, are you with us?
I'm with you, Tammy. Welcome, hey. Welcome, everybody. Yep, tonight's topic is the world on fire.
That's right. Thanks for joining us. I think everybody's been talking about what's been going on with this big uproar all around the world with the Muslims because of this movie that somebody put out. Austin, you want to fill us in on this?
Oh, yeah. The Muslim uprising about a movie that's been out on YouTube for 6 months. That they're claiming all of a sudden just incited riots in over 20 countries because they're mad about some anti-Arab Muslim 15-minute YouTube movie. It just took 6 months for this to erupt.
Timing is this everything.
Timing is definitely everything. This one really, really stinks of CIA black ops, folks. It really does, to me anyways. I smell the stench in the air. And just to let you know that they little indoctrination, little fear-mongering, let's hate some Muslims and hate some Arabs, because they're all crazy anyways, right? In the meantime, we've got 25 NATO nations is going to have the largest cooperative little war games in the Gulf ever, led, of course, by America with the K and Israel.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Ray Charles can see where this is heading. Sad but true, yeah. You can definitely, anyone out there with half a pulse can see what's happening. This is all to whip up and stir up emotions. It's been all over the lamestream media, inciting hatred and fear. It's dividing everyone. Everyone's divided. It's a mess. And we're going to delve deep into this tonight for sure.
Yeah, everyone's divided even more than usual.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been like on the social media, especially Facebook, everybody is, totally divided. Comments like, let's just make the whole Middle East, a plane of glass. In other words, nuke the hell out of everybody. That's going to really solve a lot of problems. Maybe they'll get their little maybe they'll get their little nuclear war. I don't know how little it can be. Maybe they'll get their little Georgia Guidestones and Agenda 21 and wiping out 9% of the world's population. Who the hell knows?
I was telling you about that revolution, that show launched tonight, and. You know, I'm always saying they always put hints out on the TV, in their fiction shows about what's to come, and this is talking about massive blackouts and survival and militias. You know, there's militias everywhere, and all, it's every man for himself, survival of the fittest.
Well, yeah, we've discussed this before, and on our other show, you were bringing this up too about their little propaganda. I mean, yeah, they put it on a little propaganda box, little foreshadowing indoctrination for the sheeple. Goes really good with that little flicker rate, gets you guys all zoned in and tuned in to what's happening. And it's just funny how this just rolled out just in time for what's going on in the Middle East, like these little war games, these little cooperative where we're all going to work together, all the NATO nations. 25 nations are going to be involved with these little war games going on. The ships have already left the harbor, folks. They're on their way.
Every time one of these war games takes place, I get nervous because I think back to 9/11 when they're doing the drill on the same day that they plan to actually launch the attack.
I mean, how convenient would that be to have all these, you know, have this whole, you know, all these ships in the Gulf and everyone ready for war, and actually war would actually break out. I mean, we've seen these kind of coincidences before, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I wonder if our little prediction is going to be one of the games that day. There was an article not too long ago about the drones. Do you want to go further into that? You know, my brain isn't fully functioning today.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, what we were talking about before on our other show about there was actually was it Texas A&M? They hacked into a drone and took over one of these drones and flew it over.
Well, our intelligence community hired them to see if they could do it, is what allegedly happened.
But how they released it was like a dare, and it showed that these planes can be hacked. So they took over the controls. It would be just so coincidental for one of these planes to be taken over by some crazy Arabs, of course. Got to have the right scapegoat. And maybe bomb something, you know, with one of these Hellfire missiles here in the States. There was a lot of whispers. You guys got me all scared. I'm out here in Nevada, in Las Vegas, about the actual bombing Hoover Dam. There was a bunch of references to that as a little false flag. That would be really hairy.
Well, yeah, there's some tinfoil hat wearers on YouTube that say, you know, if you fold up the, I think it's the $10 bill, and that's like the next one in the progression, apparently. You know, like the first one, the $1 bill, or I think it's the one was the Pearl Harbor, the five is Twin Towers, and now the 10 is the Hoover Dam.
Oh, nice. Well, I saw on Facebook someone post they actually have all the denominations, one to a 50, and they're all folded up, and they all show these, like you said, Pearl Harbor. They show World Trade Center up in flames, Hoover Dam getting hit. I mean, it's really crazy.
Yep.
You don't think that's coincidence, do you, Tammy?
Oh, well, no, my tinfoil hat comment, I'm a tinfoil hat wearer myself, so.
Yeah, I've got mine on tonight, too, that's for sure. I mean, it's things are really hairy out there right now. I mean, over 20 countries, I mean, they were rioting in London. London.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very scary. Again, I'm releasing information. I got an inside source of someone in the Iranian army. They've had 15,000 troops, Iranian troops, at the Straits of Hormuz for about a month now. So it's pretty obvious they see what's coming too.
Yeah, it's a matter of time.
I'm sorry. I'm terrified. I'm really scared with this one. The war drums. Well, before all this broke loose, they actually started the war drums up again. Netanyahu, he's chomping at the bit. He's chomping at the bit to go to start nuking or bombing or whatever. He has it in for Iran. I mean, there's no doubt. These Zionists, they have it in for Iran. They want this war so bad. They really do, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
They want this war. What good can come of this war? So we're gonna actually bomb the heck out of Iran because they have nuclear weapons. They don't even have a nuclear weapon. It's all pomp and circumstance. It's all an excuse. It's all an excuse. They've been baiting the Iranian leaders there, and they won't bite. So they're really, really going gung-ho for this big war. And I've got news for you guys, you listeners out there. China and Russia are not going to sit on the sidelines on this. They're not going to watch it go down. They've both stated that they're going to back Iran. And the point is Iran doesn't even need the nuclear weapons. I think Russia and China have plenty.
Right, exactly.
Well, and the whole point is about this, you know, all this scaremongering about Iran wanting nuclear weapons. If they wanted nuclear weapons, guys, they would have got them from Russia or China a long time ago, if they don't already have them from them. So, I mean, this is all just nonsense. This is all just nonsense. It's all conditioning indoctrination again and again and again. You know, they're crazy Arabs. They're bent on jihad. They want to destroy the whole world, supposedly. Al-Qaeda wants to destroy the whole world. Hey, wait. Well, yeah, that's why we created Al-Qaeda. Yeah, when Bush had Sr., before he was president, was the head of the CIA. Yes. We created Al-Qaeda. It's a CIA entity. We created the monster, guys. We created it. It's created out of our own hands. And they love using it as a scapegoat for anything. Anything that happens in the world, it's Al-Qaeda. It's Al-Qaeda. We got to flush out Al-Qaeda. We got to kill some more Al-Qaeda leaders. Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. That's all you hear. That's all you hear. It's all those crazy Arabs' fault, those Muslims, yeah. It's their fault. The world's in the toilet, but it's their fault.
Yeah, that was the whole design of 9/11, was to start to spark that controversy and that hatred.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, going back to that, it's so funny how we had these 19 crazy Muslim Arabs that six of them a year later were showed that were still alive.
Yeah.
We got a passport that just flutters down through the wreckage to show one of them was on the plane. I mean, come on, guys. Wake up.
Well, and to me, that's like why this would be escalating now, right after this anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, so this, they're going to take something that's been out there for a long time, but it's, you know, to do with Arabs. And boom, now we've got, right after 9/11, everybody gets back into that place because, you know, you were there watching TV on 9/11. Remember, never forget, never forget, never forget. Never forget. What they never want us to forget is what the Arabs did to us.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it was a bunch of crazy Arabs with box cutters hijacking four planes, flying around for over an hour, not intercepted. Cheney himself told the Air Force to stand down. But, you know, we're just crazy nut jobs with you know, our tinfoil hats on. I mean,
well, and I think for the rest of the time that we're on this earth, we're going to be hearing what we heard on 9/11, which is we will get justice. Bullshit,
yeah.
We'll get justice. I mean, justice is this disgusting freak. Cheney can just blow anybody's head off, and this idiot gets a fake heart, and, you know, it's just unbelievable. There's no justice in this scenario whatsoever. Because the criminals and the horrible people are out there living posh lives and brainwashing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they have a huge crew of people brainwashing the rest of the masses.
Oh yeah, they've got umpteen hundred think tanks rolling out all this propaganda, and the sheeple out here are lapping it up. They lap it up. I'm looking at Facebook. I'm looking at what's going on, and people are so divided, and it's working to a T. It's working to a T. I mean, you got people saying let's nuke them all and kill them all, and what is that going to accomplish, guys? You're playing right into their hands. I'm not going for all the psyops. I'm not going for these false flags. I know who the real culprits are. I bet my bottom dollar. I bet my last fiat dollar that the CIA is totally, totally involved in this, up to their eyeballs in this.
Well, market. You know what drives me the most crazy is, okay, a majority of the people that I'm friends with on social media are all, you know, people who are on their way to being fully awake, or they're some percentage of awake. But I also have a whole bunch of friends who, you know, are just totally asleep. You know, they're 100% brainwashed. And those people, all they're concerned about today is the naked pictures of the royal chick and what their family, the royal family, should do about it. It just makes me want to barf, because, you know, that's the distraction today. Of course, there's going to be some big controversial divorce or something will happen. Somebody will get, some high profile person will get murdered, or there'll be like three very famous people die all right in a row. You know, like there'll be all kinds of distractions, and that's what the people, the majority of people, are focused on. They're not focused on what's going on with Iran.
Right. And this all broke out. It was really, really coincidental. And in the background, you don't even hear anything about it on the mainstream media. When this all broke out, they released QE3.
I wouldn't have heard about that if it weren't for you. I heard a very small mention of it that was sandwiched in between Dun Dun Hall or Dun Dun Sa or whatever the heck that Chinese guy is singing on YouTube. That's been all over every single newscast I've seen, local, national, you name it. It's the biggest story out there.
That's what we're concerned about. 200 million hits. And I post about QE3 and what's going on, and I've got like 600 friends, and supposedly a lot of them awake, and I have one or two people comment on what's really going on. QE3, they're going to buy $50 billion, so they say, worth of mortgages a month, unlimited. They're freezing the interest rate at 0% till 2015.
Agenda 21 in full force.
Oh, there's those. No, and what happened? And what happened to LIBOR? Do you know what happened? Nothing.
Right.
Remember the big Libergate? How the big banks worldwide were actually fixing interest rates, all in cahoots, all in bed together? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing happened. I'm warning you guys, there's a lot going on. The stock market I don't even know what's holding it up. It's definitely not employment. It's not spending. Spending is contracting. Employment is shrinking. But the stock market's rolling on an algorithm trading like, hey, no big deal. Everything's A-OK. It's all fine and dandy.
Well, done, Sal.
Oh, yeah. Gum-gum's dancing. It's all good. It's all good in the neighborhood.
Dum-dum.
Yeah. And then, of course, they got the Navy involved in that. They released their little they got him dancing around superimposed on their YouTube video. They're dancing all in their little white uniforms, looking A-OK. They're doing the gum-gum dance. I saw that on Greta on Fox News. God, this is killing me watching Fox News to keep informed on what propaganda is going on.
I saw it on everything. It was on every show, everything today. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the world's on fire. QE3's rolled out. They're gonna buy up about $1 trillion worth of mortgages again this year, guys. And you know, let's give the crack addicts a bunch more crack all at once. Yeah, that'll work. Not. That's all they know how to do. Anything happens, let's make more money. Let's create more money out of nothingness. Yeah, that'll work. Let's devalue the dollar more. Yeah, that'll work. Spain's on the brink again. They've already had two bailouts. They're looking for a third one.
It's obviously working, Austin. We're all obese and dancing around like dum-dums.
It is so sad. It is so sad. We got QE3. We got the euro ready to go down the tubes. We got an armada of ships and troops from 25 NATO nations rolling into the Gulf. We've got 15,000 Iranian troops at the Straits of Hormuz. We got the world on fire, but we got to be distracted with the dum-dum dance.
And the naked royals. There's just one after the next now. I don't know which one's going to be naked next, but I hope it's a good-looking one. So far, it's only been the two good-looking ones. I don't think there's any good-looking ones left.
yeah, that brunette was a little yum-yum, but those pictures were so grainy. I went and looked at them. I'm like, this is the big hubbub?
Hubbub for a reason, you know. First you get Harry out naked, and he's looking good. Then you get her naked. Now, you know, like, it always happens in blocks like that, especially when it's a distraction. Like I was saying before, if a famous person's going to drop dead for distraction purposes, it's going to have to be a Michael Jackson or something. But even when Jackson dropped dead, a couple other people dropped dead at the same time, famous. You know, so there could be all these nonstop coverage of the, you know, what happened after they died and what their lives were all about and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
you got your naked princess and or whatever she is and your naked prince. And then who knows what's coming next? What's the next distraction? I don't know. But the important thing is what it's distracting us from.
Well, yeah, and the sheeple, they lapped it up. Everyone's lapping it up. 200 million hits of the dum-dum dance. Dum-dum. I don't get it.
I still haven't seen the video, but I really didn't need to because I saw it all over TV today, different parts of it. I'm sure I've seen the whole thing by now.
Oh, I'm sure you have, too. I mean, it's all over. It's all over everything. You know, and I just, all this heck breaking loose around the world, I just see it as a false flag CIA black ops. You know, there's whispers going around that Obama and the White House and our fearless government looking out for us knew at least 48 hours in advance that this was going to go down. And I found something, you know, technically we really didn't even have a consulate at what is it, the Tsar, I'm probably butchering it. We don't even have an embassy where that happened. Just food for thought, folks. Don't believe me, do your research. No embassy there. How about that? The only embassy we have there is in Tripoli. Just food for thought, guys.
Oh, isn't yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, that's another thing that happened. And every time something like this happens, I always think, well, maybe this guy was planning to blow a whistle or something, or he wasn't an evil enough scumbag. But and that's probably why he was put into his post. But that... what is the guy killed out there? The ambassador.
Yeah. Our ambassador that happened to be working out there and was a hero to the Arabs in 2011 during their Arab Spring revolt.
Ah, that's it. That's why they targeted him.
Well, yeah, because he was a hero, so now we got to have the guy that was actually on their side. They released a bunch of stuff that he was raped. I mean, they just really really ran with this. I don't know what to believe. I do not trust anything that I see on CNN or Fox or ABC, CBS. I don't trust anything they put out. You can't.
I don't either. No. Mm-mm. And anything I see that's going back to our topic last week of the voting, and I'll just touch on this quickly, but I've been thinking this ever since because I keep seeing these ads to, you know, that to go out and vote. And anything that the television is telling me to do, I'm going to question it thoroughly.
Well, yeah, it's like Howard Beale. You eat, sleep, drink, and live the tube.
Yeah.
The tube is the new reality. You're not real, but what's happening on TV is that's your bottom dollar. We're in a lot of trouble. We really are. I mean, it's laid out there. I mean, it's so crazy. We've got thousands of troops in the Straits of Hormuz of Iran. We've got an armada of 25 NATO countries with troops and ships. We're going to go play some war games in the Gulf. That's a good idea, right?
But let's pick it back up after a commercial break.
All right, we can do that.
All right, we'll be right back. Stick around.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty Stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 9-1-1 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 9-1-1 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hey, cruise on over to the Whiskey A Go Go, Freedomizer's late night comedy show on Wednesday nights from 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. Hosted by me, Val Volano, and my co-host, Crazy Mars. We are seeking talent in comedy and music. The music we are looking for is classic rock, acid rock, hard rock, rap, pop, and blues. In comedy, we want any and all comedy skits, whether you call in live or submit by MP3. Be as creative as you want. Please submit your work at our fan page on Facebook at The Whiskey A Go Go. So come, lift your spirits and get away from all the doom and gloom. Warning, it's raw, it's dangerous, and we will be at our best at making fun of you. No PC allowed. I'm stalking you. You never know who and when I will spoof on the air, unless you're there. So that's Wednesday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Whiskey A Go Go! Whoa, put the brakes on. Did you catch all that? Too much coffee. Freedomizer is so addicting.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
All righty. You there, Tammy? Hi. Are you there, Tammy? Okay, guys, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know if we're live or not, but we're talking about the world on fire and some mess out there. Wondering if I'm even live, but What we got is a bunch of distractions going on. There's no doubt about it. Got the Armada going out. And we've got, they're actually even pulling up Salman Rushdie from 79, who did like the Satanic Verses, some anti-Islamic book way back in the day. They're even dragging him out from 1979. So I'm not even sure what's going on. They're just really rolling it out, folks. Really rolling it out. I'm just really, really worried, guys. Just see these false flags. They're happening, and I'm really worried about what's going on out there.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. There you are. I was wondering what happened to you. Yeah, it was disgusting.
you know, I've been having there's technical difficulties going on over here.
I didn't know if we were dead air, or I was like, wow, what happened? What happened? I didn't know if we were live or not, but apparently we're back. So, yeah, it's just back to what we're discussing. It's just so crazy what's going on in the world right now, and all the distractions, and we're worried about naked pictures of this of the new princess. And,
yeah,
the big
we've got a caller.
Okay, who's calling?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Who's calling here?
This is Ron from Ron's Media Maker.
Hi, Ron. How you doing?
Hey, Val. I don't believe I've ever called into your show, but I heard you guys talking about the Middle East, and one of the things when the Arab Rising took place last year over in Egypt. What I remembered mostly, now I was kind of young, but, you know, the Sinai Peninsula, there's been some rumblings there, and that's what Egypt and Israel fought over in the Six-Day War in 1967. And that was mentioned about a week ago in the mainstream media, but that's what worries me, and I think that's why you may be seeing Israel, you know, gearing up for something.
Well, you're definitely on point.
You're breaking up there a little bit.
Yeah, we
okay.
got an echo
right.
coming.
The echo's not from me, is it, Tappy?
It's happening when you're speaking. I don't know if Ron, are you on a speakerphone?
Well, normally it doesn't echo, but
anyway,
I put my headphones in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah, but Ron, you're definitely on point. I mean, we've been discussing. They're getting ready to play big NATO war games with 25 different countries. They're rolling in the big Armada ships. They're on their way. 25 countries are going to participate. Headed, of course, by America and Israel. Little NATO show of force. And actually, little inside info, there's about 15,000 troops, Iranian troops, on the Straits of Hormuz as we speak. Info I got from someone who's actually in the Iranian army. So it's
yeah,
a
and there's also the Suez Canal, though. That's a very important waterway. That's like a main artery for a lot of the oil that flows between Europe and the United States and other countries in the world. And Egypt was the one that controlled that, or still controls it. And so it's real important now who controls the Suez Canal. But they don't talk about that very much.
Well, no, we're worried about 200 million hits by that. What's that guy's name? What's
Gang
the name
Nam
of the dance?
Or something?
Yeah, we're worried about that, and we're distracted with
Kate Middleton.
Pictures. Kate Middleton. Yeah, I mean it's a typical fodder that we get, and of course the election propaganda too.
Yeah, the Suez Canal is just about or as important as the Straits of Hormuz. But Ed made very little mention of that. But they did mention the Sinai Peninsula, and that's what Egypt and Israel fought over initially in the 1967 Six-Day War.
I don't even know what to believe on history, if that's really what the war was about, because actually in 67, we got sucked into that too. Israeli jets actually bombed one of our ships, fired on one of our ships. And then
the Sinai Peninsula, because that's kind of the buffer between Saudi Arabia and Israel. I mean, in Egypt.
Yeah, I just have my own opinions on that. That's all a bunch of Zionists. Basic control, a little diversion going on there. I'm of that opinion. For years and years before 48, I mean, the Palestinians and Israelis lived together there. They babysat each other's kids. They got along in harmony. And then in 1948, we decided to give Israel their piece of land, their country. Basically, which was actually a deal that was bartered in World War One. That's another long story.
Yeah. But anyway,
exactly.
I just want to call in and mention that because, it's kind of like history repeating itself there. But like I say, if something goes down, it's going to be in the Middle East. You can almost guarantee it.
Oh, yeah, there's
whether
no doubt.
Yeah,
we appreciate, You see, they've been pounding the war drums forever. They've been waiting. I was wondering what the heck they were going to do. When they sent out the Enterprise, that was the big hubbub that they were going to sink that as a false flag. People got a hold of that, and that went around. So that if they weren't thinking of doing that, that kind of sidelined that idea. But, I mean, come on, they're pulling out Salman Rushdie from 79 in the satanic verses. I mean, come on. They're throwing that in the mix. They're just throwing anything against the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
It's really ridiculous.
It's true. I'm gonna hang up here. I gotta eat some I got some paste picante sauce and some corn chips, and I'll be listening. Thanks for letting me call in.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for calling in, Ron, anytime.
Yeah.
Taste the patty sauce and corn syrup. Sounds delicious, though, unfortunately.
It's a paste. Now I'm thinking about all those cowboys in the paste commercial. He just put that image in my mind. Real picante sauce. Don't have that image in my head all night. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I'm at my wit's end. And what is it going to take for the people to wake up? Is it gonna take a Hellfire missile in their backyard? Why don't you get into your feelings about what's gonna be happening here?
Oh, that's something I really hate about being awake is the sleep deprivation part of it. I'd actually like to be asleep sometimes, but man, when you just try to, I don't know how to stop trying to figure out what it's going to be and when it's going to be and where it's going to happen and blah, 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 but I just can't turn that switch off in my own head for some reason. But sometimes I can, but the majority of the time I can't. But I think that we've got a false flag coming, and you know I think it's going to be the drone attack. The false flag drone attack. I saw that, you know, being staged in that article that we found, and it just seems inevitable to me that that's what's going to happen. How many places are going to get bombed? I don't know, but I believe it's all what's going to go down next. It might start somewhere else, but it's going to end up here on American soil. That's what I think.
And I don't put anything past these sociopaths, these elite globalists. I put nothing is beyond reach. I mean, all you have to do is again go back and look at 9/11. They'll do anything.
Yes.
Anything. Who was it that said that never let a good catastrophe go to waste?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember, but that's right.
Yeah, I'm looking at everything going on, and it's what we discuss all the time. They have so many different agendas on so many different fronts, so many different things going on at the same time. I mean, it's hard being awake. It's hard.
Yeah. I'm totally sleep deprived. I don't even want to call it awake anymore. I'm sleep deprived.
Sleep deprived. Isn't that the truth? It's been a few months since I took a couple of the blue pills and took me a little hiatus. I'm scared to do it. I might not want to come back.
Well, my kids got me a foot bath for my birthday, and they gave me a gift certificate. So I went out and got one of them vibrating pads for your chair that massages your back and your thighs and stuff. And then I got one of the ones that wrap around your neck. Really. When I first, here I'm sitting in the chair with the thing on the neck and the thing in the back and the feet in the thing and it felt like it was going to kill me that first time because my body doesn't know how to relax anymore.
are you getting used to it yet?
Oh, yeah. The first time it literally made me sick and it was so painful. I was in so much pain. You know, something that's supposed to feel really good, really hurt bad. But then the second time I broke out in a sweat. I was sweating profusely and nauseous and just pain everywhere. It was horrible. But the kids asked me how it was. I said, oh, it was great. But then the next couple times it was great. And, you know, I've been doing it ever since, just trying to relax because, you know, once you know this stuff, you're just trying to figure out what the agenda is. And I beat myself up for doing that because I know that we're not going to figure it out. There's 10 agendas for every one agenda. And there's so many agendas going on right now that, you know, we don't know what to expect because anything could happen. They have so many different plans and so many different methods of making those plans come to fruition. And they also have their dates, their special dates that they want everything to happen on. You know, everything has to happen on their specific days. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, 9/11, the big outbreak happened again on 9/11. They love that 9/11.
Yeah,
they love that number. And you were talking about what was it? October 16th. You had the funny feeling something was going to break loose.
I've been thinking about that the last couple of days. I was going to drop that date on this show, so you did it for me, and I'm glad because I'm half brain dead today.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but
I forgot. I'm glad you said that.
We're on that synergy wave, that Vulcan mind meld going on over here. it's scary how sometimes we get in each other's heads. It scares me sometimes, that's for sure.
Yeah, I hear you.
We start sitting in each other's sentences and shit. That's when I'm open stuff, and that's when I'm going to start worrying.
Well, the first time I rethought that I'm doing like a daily countdown, because when the 16th of this month rolled around, I thought, man, this has been hell month for me. It's just been one dumb thing after the next going on in my personal life. And then today some great stuff happened, but as you know, it's like crazy stuff at the same time. But so when the 16th rolled around, I thought, well, we got one more month. You know, here I am doing my, oh, I can't wait until September ends, but look out, October. I think there's a surprise coming in October.
Yeah, we've been talking about that October surprise. It looks like they moved up the dates. They rolled out the. I thought that was just going to be Israeli and American joint maneuvers starting on October 1st, and they really upped the ante. They got everybody involved.
Well, you know what I told you several times, and I still feel this way, that before this surprise comes, whatever it is, people are going to be like I am right now, just exhausted from it all, from all of the stressful, traumatic things that are going to go down. And, you know, like what the first time I said that, oh, no, I said it many, many times, but something keeps happening. You know, like every day there's some new, oh, my God, event going down, or every couple days. And then you'll get your, like, 1 week off to get a false sense of security, start creeping back in, and then, boom, another 10 things. And, you know, I think that's going to keep happening, because when the big bomb drops, whatever it is, whatever this false flag is that's coming, that I sense coming, I think people are going to just not be able to take anymore, you know? Like, it'll be kicking people when they're down, when it finally does come.
The coup de grace is what you're saying, the big kick. Yeah, from the Empire State Building shooting, where that was actually cops wounding and shooting all those people, not the gunmen. It's one thing after another, after another, after another. And then, like you said, they give you the little lull, little sense of security, give you a week or two off, and then bam. It's just the way that the timing is that this all erupted on 9/11, and they released QE3, and that slid under the radar. Then you had all these false flags, that Aurora shooting when they were going to investigate LIBOR, and LIBORgate goes away.
That's exactly what I was about to go into, was there was all kinds of trauma leading up to this latest sweep under the rug. So there's going to be even more. People are going to be so overwhelmed by what's been going on in the nation as a whole, that we're not going to be able to take the big thing that happens. And of course the media will do the whole, while they're traumatizing us, they'll do the whole, look how united we all are nonsense.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Look how united we are, and in reality we're totally divided on these issues, on this Muslims. I mean, you have people on one side or the other. I'm looking at it as for what it is, as distraction, and they're divide and conquer, but it's hard to look at it that way, because it's such an emotional bomb. It really is. They got everyone rah-rahing, and, you know, everyone's rah-rahing. We got to stick together, and Look at these evil Arab people. They're crazy. And look at what they're doing. You know, I think that the CIA is, like I said, eyeballs deep in this stuff. Stirring up the pot.
And before we go to commercial, I'm just going to say, to me, this Arab hate Arabs stuff, it's like a broken record to me now. It's as annoying as, you know, a scratch in a record. And it just keeps repeating, hate the Arabs, you know, you just want to break the record in half, you know. I'm sick of hearing it. It's such nonsense.
Yeah, I wish it was that easy. I really do. Let's break the record, folks.
Yeah.
Let's break the record and go to commercial.
Okay. We'll be right back after this. And please call in if you want after the break. We'd like to hear your thoughts on all this.
In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure. Maximum Archives MyDrive service lets you have access to your data from just about any device and pretty much anywhere. MyDrive makes sure that when it counts, you can get what you need, because failure is not an option. Sign up for MyDrive today at MaximumArchive.com. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign Newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's First Production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hey, cruise on over to the Whiskey Go Go, Freedomizer's late night comedy show on Wednesday nights from 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. Hosted by me, Val Volano, and my co-host, Crazy Mars. We are seeking talent in comedy and music. The music we are looking for is classic rock, acid rock, hard rock, rap, pop, and blues. In comedy, we want any and all comedy skits, whether you call in live or submit by MP3. Be as creative as you want. Please submit your work at our fan page on Facebook at The Whiskey A Go Go. So come, lift your spirits and get away from all the doom and gloom. Warning, it's raw, it's dangerous, and we will be at our best at making fun of you. No PC allowed. I'm stalking you. You never know who and when I will swoop on the air, unless you're there. So that's Wednesday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Whiskey a go-go! Whoa, put the brakes on. Did you catch all that? Too much coffee. Freedomizer is so addicting.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers!
from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
And welcome back to Guerrilla Radio, where we're discussing the current state of hell that we're being forced into by our government.
By the elite globalists, by the gangsta banksters. The world is on fire, folks.
Oh, yeah.
It's on fire. I wish there was an easy way to put out this fire, too. I really do. But I don't see it. If anyone out there sees any way to put this fire out, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to know.
Me too.
I just don't see the kumbaya in this scenario. I just don't see it. It's craziness. They're lining up the dominoes, ready to kick that first one over. Tammy's sitting here waiting for the big false flag, the big October surprise. You think we'll make it to October before the surprise hits?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I really think it's going to be the middle of October. That 16th keeps coming through. I don't know. I don't know if there's any significance to that whatsoever. It's just it's something that keeps popping up in dreams, that date. So I don't know.
I still deal with the same thing. I keep dreaming of L.A. and riots and fire and chaos myself. I can't shake this nightmare over and over and over again. And like you said, sleep, what's that? I don't remember the last time I had good night's sleep.
I know. I miss it. I miss sleep. It's so rare anymore to get a good night's sleep. And then that's all the pain, you know, all this physical pain that I'm experiencing would be because of the lack of sleep. But when I do get a good, nice block of sleep, it's like playing catch up. So it's like, you know, it's always restless and full of nightmares, unfortunately.
I can never catch up. I'm on work worry and not sleep.
My government are providing me the nightmare.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, I mean, what?
And I don't know what's going on, but I think you might be having some technical difficulties now.
Yeah, you're breaking up, too. Breaking up the Guerrilla Radio.
Breaking up just a bit. So,
man, we've been having technical difficulties.
I'm not going to, that's going on here locally, that I was talking about last week as well, is the local elections that are just absolutely disgusting. The two people are at each other's throats about the same exact things. Both of them are saying they're both running for Senate. One's trying to be reappointed, and the other one's trying to be appointed for the first time. He's been treasurer here for, like, I don't even think it's been a year. And he's been in the local government, but now he's trying to move on to the federal government.
Yeah,
and they just keep going back and forth with each other about, you know, about the same exact things, that they don't go to work, they don't show up for work, they don't vote on anything, and They're just traveling the planet, getting contributions, campaign contributions, and that's where I wanted to end up, was at campaign contributions. I feel so bad for people who aren't awake yet, who send their money to these monsters, like the little old lady who sends her $20 a month to the Obama Fund or whatever she could scrape up, because, you know, she's just got to contribute to him, even though he's got all these super PACs and all these big contributors giving him multi-millions. He don't need that little old lady's $20, but he has no problem taking it. And that's how every single one of these greedy pieces of junk are.
You can't. They don't even want any crumbs to fall off the table, Tammy. You know that. They want it all.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the only thing that is worse to me than these money grubbing politicians is these money grubbers. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God bless you. He'll tithe you tenfold. Send your money in today.
I recognize a Joel Osteen impression when I hear one. Yeah, he's disgusting.
Yes.
They all are. All those televangelists make me just want to throw my TV out the window.
Oh, I know. they're the only ones worse than the money grubbing politicians. The money grubbing politicians, they hide under the guise of government and helping us. But these money grubbing televangelists, they hide under the eyes of God, and that is, you know, that they talk about blasphemy. That's real blasphemy to me.
Yeah. The filthy politicians use God too, but the televangelists, that's all they use is God, and it's just, oh my God. They're disgusting, and so many of them get their comeuppance while they're still alive, and that's the only justice that I see in it. They'll end up getting some comeuppance.
I love it when they get their comeuppance too. I love those greedy guys getting their comeuppance. That is something the Bible and asking for money.
Yeah.
Oh. Sickening. But then again, you know my feelings. The Bible's basically rewritten in 1611 by 8 Jesuits for a tool anyways.
Yeah. So, Revelations is definitely the playbook.
Oh, yeah. And we both agree on that. I mean, whether you're a believer in the Bible or not, you look around and you read Revelations, you correlate it to things happening right now. They definitely tie in. I believe since they wrote it, it's their playbook.
Well, this is what I was thinking about when Ron from Ron's Media Maker was on with us, when he said it's history repeating itself. That's something that the whole Bible, not just Revelations, is there for too, is for the history to keep repeating itself.
It's the same skip on that record.
Mm-hmm.
But real long play record. A real LP, long play. Over and over and over. Yeah. It's, you know, and I mean the Zionists are using the Talmud, the Christians are using the Bible. You've got Allah, the Quran, but I mean, it's all good. I mean, they're all fighting in the name of God, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was in this hot, heavy thread in Facebook about, I was saying that they were turn the Middle East to glass, kill them all. And then this Bible thumping Christian goes, well, my God, this, and my God, this, and my God, this. And then I put a little one sentence, I go, well, isn't God everybody's?
Really?
I mean, isn't isn't God everybody's God? I mean, I don't claim God to be mine. Do you?
No, I don't. And the only time I ever say my God is when I'm making that argument. When somebody's telling me my God, my God, my God, then I say, well, my God loves everyone. Even, you know, a hater like you, even a hypocrite like you, God loves you. Because you obviously haven't read your Bible, Thumper.
Yeah, right. And you know, and I got this guy quoting the Quran that these other people that are debating don't understand Islam and you know, he's quoting all these quotes from the Quran. The Quran has many quotes about basically killing people and warring for God and Muhammad. The Bible has God smiting out Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, and like we were discussing before, right there in Revelations, look at that death and destruction, that bloodbath that comes with the second coming of Christ.
Yeah. I mean, look at all the plagues that, you know, that happened and the plagues that are going to happen again, pestilence and famine. I mean.
Well, and then a bunch of, like, hideous monsters coming down and just, like, annihilating a bunch of people.
Well, some people think that's the Anaku or whatever. Some UFOs are gonna come.
Yeah.
I love those too. I mean, you know, we're created by UFOs and, you know, all that New Age nonsense too. I mean, and a lot of this so-called New Age nonsense is old age nonsense. I mean, it's all spun in propaganda. Ever since man could figure out, you know, there's been written language, there's been propaganda.
Well, that's what religion is to me, is propaganda. It's just it's a different kind. You got all kinds of brainwashed people walking around, and they're brainwashed in more than one way. They're brainwashed by their government. They're brainwashed by their religious leaders and their religion. Their parents brainwash them. Their teachers brainwash them. And people are so damn confused, don't even think about thinking for themselves.
I mean, Karl Marx, I despise the man, but religion is the opiate of the masses.
Well,
it really is. Well, a main one. Now we've taken it many steps further. We got Big Pharma, we got EMF, ELF waves, we got scalar technology, we've got nanotechnology. They've just, like we discussed, there's just so many different fronts.
Yeah.
You don't even know where to dig in to even try to fight the back.
Well, that's what I always say. The only thing I can ever think to tell anybody is to be as healthy as you can be, you know, to try to maintain your health as much as possible with all of this biological warfare that we're putting up with. And that goes right down to the nanotech and the frequencies and all that stuff. That's all biological. It all affects you on a biological and molecular level. So if you take care of yourself and, you know, keep reproducing the good stuff that your body needs to fight this stuff, then you have a better chance. The stress of it all, though, makes that very difficult for a body.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, this is all by design. They're designed to keep us stressed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
like I was saying, I don't think just the military people who are coming back from war have post-traumatic stress disorder. I think everybody pretty much has some level of stress disorder. I'd hate to say disorder, but some kind of amount of stress. A lot of us have traumatic stress. I do. It's traumatizing. You know, like even drama for me is trauma sometimes now, where I can't even sit down and watch a drama movie or a drama TV show because, you know, I just can't take it. I can't take anymore, you know, like the straw broke this camel's back a while back. So other people are on that road, though. The sleeping people are on that road. They just don't know it because they're dumb dancing.
I tuned up of TV for like 4 months, and now I've been watching it to watch what's going on in lamestream news. And I'm like, oh my Lord, it's all a production.
Well, I told you, I tuned out for 10 years, and here recently I've been considering tuning out again because I've been back on TV for about 7 months now. And it did not take too long for this TV to be on whenever I'm awake. Like, the TV's just on, and I'm already, like, trying to convince myself one of these brainwashing techniques that it's just there for background noise or, you know, whatever the excuse might be. But that thing is addictive. The TV is addictive and for so many reasons.
Well, yeah, that goes back to what we've discussed, the dang flicker rates on that TV. It's hypnotizing. And it draws
that,
you in.
Coupled with the,
and it changes your mental state.
Coupled with the frequencies that are coming out of that thing, the noises that are playing, you know, that stuff has a huge effect on a person, on the mind and body.
Yeah. And we've discussed that before, that the average American watches 8 hours of TV a day. A third of your life watching that tube. That's average. That's an average. So that means there's people watching TV 12 hours a day.
Wow. You know, yeah. That's a lot of TV watching.
So you have a third of your life sleeping and a third of your life watching TV and a third of your life being a slave to the grind.
Well, and then when you're out in the grind, you got a bunch of people. Like, this is something I didn't even realize until I started watching TV again. Because over 10 years that I didn't watch TV at all or movies. And yeah. And when I started watching again, I thought, hey, now, that's what everybody's out there in the world saying this stuff, too. Like, it becomes their catchphrases, what they've heard on TV, you know? And so you're not only hearing it while you're at the TV, you're hearing it everywhere. Water cooler talk, you know, people are repeating what they're hearing. Like, Beavis, the best example I always use is the Beavis and Butthead debacle, when you had all these men who, and girls, but for me it was the men. Like, one day I thought, man, that guy is gorgeous, look at him. And then the next day I see him and he's like, huh, 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 making all these Beavis and Butthead noises. And I'm like, wow, that guy is not so good looking anymore. He looks like he's mentally retarded.
TP for my bunghole.
Yes, that, oh, Lord, help us all, that is what people do.
Right. I mean, it's so crazy. It's just so crazy. I mean, between these new ages, with, you know, we're going to have a new frequency, and the people repeating what's on TV, these Bible thumpers, you know. I mean, enough. Enough. Does anyone just read a book anymore?
Heck no.
I know, I'm going to write a book about TV.
Everybody will read. No, people won't read it, Austin, unless you make a video about it and put it on YouTube. Then they'll listen to you and watch some, you know, fun pictures.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make a video book about TV and put it on YouTube and TV.
That's a good idea, actually.
But actually, some people do selective reading of the Bible, a few verses they know.
Most people who are tuned into an organized religion and, you know, who go to church and stuff, they focus on whatever their higher up tells them to focus on. So they're not going to sit down and read the whole Bible.
I've read the whole Bible.
I've read the whole Bible, too. I've also... I haven't read the whole Quran, but I tried to.
I've read a lot of the Quran. I haven't read the whole Quran, but I've read a lot of it. But I have read the whole Bible.
I haven't read the whole thing either. And I tried to learn, before I did know the prayers, the Salat, and I knew it in Arabic. And then, you know, I traveled to the Middle East a couple times and hung out there and hung out with some Muslims after 9/11. And, I practiced their religion because I really wanted to understand from a Muslim point of view. My plan was I was going to write a book called Being a Muslim American in a Post-9/11 America. And it just never happened because it was very interesting how I was received. It kind of ruined my life, that 2 years that I spent as a Muslim.
You've lived it. I mean, you definitely lived it.
Oh, I lived it. I even went to the Middle East. I was not messing around. And I wore, you know, the headgear, even wore it to my kids' school. I wouldn't take, I took it very seriously. Well, I did do it. I knew that it was only for 2 years because it was just, you know, to see what it was, but while I did it, I was in it to win it. So I even learned Arabic.
So when's the book coming out? Oh, you got to make a docudrama on YouTube. I mean, people don't read anymore.
Yeah, the book will come out after I get some sleep. So, never.
So never. Really, you were there. You were there in the Middle East. What's your opinion? Are they really that crazy?
Well, I went to Dubai, and I'll never forget flying over Kuwait. I was really nervous because we were at war at the time. But when I got to Dubai, no, they're not crazy. They're just people, you know? Like the people in Dubai, they're just normal people. Same thing with Turkey. I mean, they're very serious about their religion, but they didn't want to kill me just because I was an American or anything like that. And they didn't hate me. They hate what our country is doing, you know? But they didn't hate me just for being American over there. So, and I went by myself. I didn't have... that's a whole other story. It would take me too long, and we only have a couple minutes left. But then I went to Turkey, and that's like a whole different world. The people aren't I didn't feel threatened at all, you know, especially I went grocery shopping in Turkey. That was something I'll never forget. And it was just like going grocery shopping here, except that, you know, all the everything was in Arabic. And our like Turkish or Arabic, and the fruit and vegetables were different too. I mean, you know, like they had the same kinds of fruit and vegetables, but they also had stuff that I'd never seen or heard of before, and a whole lot of bugs all over everything.
Going back to topic, and you know what's happening, you know, in the Middle East and all these people upset and angry. I mean, you know, they're just crazy Arabs. It wouldn't happen to be, you know, that, you know, America invading their countries like in Libya, you know, and killing their leader and decimating their country. They wouldn't be upset about anything like that, would they? About our little nation building. They're mad about a YouTube video.
Yeah, but okay. But when I was in Turkey, like the thing that kind of blew my mind was people just walking around with guns all over the place and unconcealed, you know, just there were guns everywhere. I saw guns all over, but I still didn't even feel threatened, though. But the only time that 9/11 or any of that stuff ever came up is if I brought it up. Like the drivers, like anywhere that I went where I was driven around by somebody, they were playing American rock music and loving every minute of it. They knew all the words. And they wanted to talk about your family and, well, what got you interested in, you know, in the religion and being Muslim. And then I met a bunch that weren't Muslim, and they were kind of, you know, not very popular, but they didn't care. There is a huge group out there that isn't Muslim, too, you know, or they have no religion, or there's even Christians out there. So it kind of reminded me of America, just with, you know, a different race of people.
Right.
Honestly.
Well,
and the gun.
Well, yeah, predominantly Muslim instead of here. Yeah, I guess you could say it's predominantly Christian. So they read the Quran more than people here in the United States thump the Bible. Same
they
difference.
They worship it. Yeah, they read that. Yeah, they do. And then something I loved actually was the Athen coming out in the air anywhere you were. You know, like I was in a desolate area in Cadiz, and like we were on the side of a mountain and you couldn't see anything for miles, but all of a sudden you hear and it was the call of prayer, you know.
Call of prayer.
But
yeah,
anyway, that's all for us tonight. We've gotta turn the microphone over to Val. And
oh yeah, for Whiskey a Go Go.
Yes.
Val's coming
up. And thank you, everybody, though, for tuning in. Austin, it's always a pleasure.
Nice talking to you again. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you guys. We'll get back with you on Wednesday, same time.
Yeah. Don't forget to tune in Wednesday. I think we might get more into religion on Wednesday, and we'd love to have some input from you guys. What are your thoughts on the stuff that we just basically touched on just now?
And like our Facebook page, Gorilla Radio, too.
Ah, yes. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Gorilla Radio. Over and out.
Hey, cruise on over to the Whiskey A Go Go, Freedomizer's late night comedy show on Wednesday nights from 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. Hosted by me, Val Volano, and my co-host, Crazy Mars. We are seeking talent in comedy and music. The music we are looking for is classic rock, acid rock, hard rock, rap, pop, and blues. In comedy, we want any and all comedy skits, whether you call in live or submit by MP3. Be as creative as you want. Please submit your work at our fan page on Facebook at The Whiskey A Go Go. So come, lift your spirits and get away from all the doom and gloom. Warning, it's raw, it's dangerous, and we will be at our best at making fun of you. No PC allowed. I'm stalking you. You never know who and when I will swoop on the air, unless you're there. So that's Wednesday night, 10:30 to midnight Pacific time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Whiskey A Go Go! Whoa, put the brakes on. Did you catch all that? Too much coffee. Freedomizer is so addicting.
Welcome to the USSA.
I always question the received reality. The consensus reality is often intentionally misleading.
Would you support a new investigation on 9/11?
You know, that's like, you know, that. They don't investigate themselves in this country. The people who are in charge do what they want, and they will always do what they want. The power does what it wants.
They are a secret network of international pirates who identify with no nation, no national flag, and no established religion. Their flag is the skull and crossbones, and their god, G-O-D, sells gold, oil, and drugs.
Do you
Tonight, I've been having a really awesome day, and I want to make some announcements to you guys out there. Still a lot of questions, thanks, Mo. Still a lot of questions out there with where did Donnie go? Donnie is no longer with Freedomizer Radio, and I cannot discuss the details of that. However, he is not part of Freedomizer anymore, and I've actually taken over his time slots. I know a lot of you are upset about that, and I hope to do somewhat of a good job. Is he filling his shoes here? I have been doing a series on quantum physics, and it basically is decoding the New World Order, basically beating the New World Order, getting on their playing field, which is actually in the area of quantum physics, how they create the illusions of our world. This is a global thing that's going on, and there's a lot to it. This is nearing the end of this series, and now, you know, for those of you interested, you can go back into the archives. If you go to blogtalkradio.com and just click in search Val Volano, Freedomizer will come up. And my shows in the past, since I believe July, I started the series on quantum physics, if you wanted to go back and catch up. I basically did the nuts and bolts back then, and now we're getting on the how-to. How to apply this to our lives, how to do these things. Are there really techniques, and can we achieve change? And I believe that that answer is absolutely yes. But before we get into all that, I do want to make some other announcements for the upcoming shows here on the Val Volano Show. And also, for those of you that are a little confused, Whiskey A Go-Go is actually on Wednesday nights, and that is our new late-night comedy show here on Freedomizer. It's the same time slot, 10:30 to midnight Pacific time. And then Monday nights is the Val Volano Show. This is my serious show. And then the Wednesday night show is the comedy music show. So those of you out there who are musicians or comedians, or you just want to be goofy and have fun, and, you know, if you think you're funny, you know, upload onto the Facebook, our fan page. Go to Facebook, and we are The Whiskey A Go-Go on Facebook, and you can submit your work there, or if you have a YouTube channel, you can also submit your work to me, and my handle over there is Volano72. V as in Victor, A-L-A-N-O, just like it sounds, Volano. And we're looking for rock bands, rap artists, hip-hop, any kind of genre that has to do with... I want to stay away from country music because the theme is based around the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood, California. And at the Whiskey down there, they have promoted bands like Metallica and hip-hop artists and things of that nature. So I'm kind of trying to want to stay with the genres of that trend. So if you are a rocker or a rapster or a hip-hop artist, you know, get with me, and I would love to get your music on the air. And by the way, the Alexis numbers, you know, they're huge, so you're going to be exposed to a very big audience.
So anyways, well, I'm getting on to other things. Tonight we are going to be discussing quantum physics and beating the New World Order and how you can apply it into your life. And I have a small clip that I want to start this off with, and that's going to set the motion of the rest of the show. And we've got a lot to get into. The number for call-in, 347-324-3704. Call in anytime. I'll get you onto the air. And you could be part of the show. If you have a question or a comment, by all means, call in. It's very interactive. I enjoy callers. So let's go ahead and get started with this series. And let me find my clip really quick. That's the biggest thing, is getting through all these clips. My goodness. Give me a second. Sorry, guys. There we are. All right, so this is going to be about 9 minutes long. Pay attention because it's going to set the motion for the rest of the show, and there's a lot to go over. Also tonight, before I lose your interest, we are going to get into Alice Bailey, Helen Blavatsky, what those two are, what they did, the United Nations, all kinds of stuff. So stick around, and we're getting started right now.
Human beings have been mystified by the power of thought. Countless legends, myths, and social explanations surround the topic of thought, but few people understand the facts about how our thoughts impact our lives. For many years, unusual observations and experiences have been labeled bizarre, paranormal, and sometimes were even considered unexplainable coincidences. But as recent studies demonstrate, there appears to be a consistent connection between the mind and physical matter. With the modern emphasis of science and the need for quantifiable evidence, many scientists have begun using a relatively new field of study known as quantum physics or quantum mechanics to examine the laws that apply at an atomic or microscopic scale. This science endeavors to describe many previously unexplained phenomena while accounting for the often overlooked energy patterns of human thought. This new science asserts that classical laws of physics do not always apply to the happenings observed at the quantum level. Some studies have shown that the actual position of matter changes continuously until a person gazes at it, where it temporarily takes a fixed position to the human eye, but actually exists simultaneously in other locations. This is called the law of superposition, and it suggests that there is no such thing as an objective or universal reality. In other words, our observation of reality changes reality. The experiment also implies that there are many uncertainties between the relationship of energy, time, and space. The eminent double-slit diffraction experiment demonstrates that matter can either behave as particles or as waves, but not both at the same time. The ramifications of this study have perplexed and in some cases upset classical physicists. This does not necessarily mean that all previously existing mathematical laws were erroneous, but rather that the classical perspective is merely incomplete. Some researchers, such as Dr. Masaru Emoto, have observed that energy, especially thought energy, can impact the physical properties of matter, such as water. Early experiments showed that water purity directly impacted its frozen form. Building on this discovery, further tests involved introducing the water to extraneous variables such as music, prayer, concentrated thought, and the written word. To avoid inconsistencies, Emoto used the most neutral form of water possible, distilled water. The water, as Emoto notes, responded differently yet consistently to the various stimuli. Heavy metal music, placed next to water, for example, continually froze in a shattered-like appearance. Water placed next to the classical music of Mozart's symphony froze in the shape of a snowflake. Then people focusing their attention on specific water samples noticed that once again the results were consistent when the water was frozen. Negative thoughts caused the water to freeze in a shattered-like formation, where positive thoughts consistently created complex snowflake patterns. Since many people struggle to believe what they cannot see, Emoto hopes that his extensive research and photographs will give people some physical evidence that there may be more intriguing forces at work in the universe than many of us know about, and that we may use these forces by embracing positive thoughts and exhibiting high levels of emotion, such as love and gratitude. A different experiment involved the use of random event generators, also known as REGs. These are small and simple computers that produce random sequences of ones and zeros. After being told to focus on either producing more ones or zeros, the participants in the study were clearly able to influence the outcome and manipulate the mathematical probability of generating the result they intended to achieve. In a follow-up study, participants were told to once again bring about more ones or zeros on REGs located on the opposite sides of the planet. The results were equally consistent. Further studies also revealed that the results were strengthened when more people concentrated their thoughts together on the same outcome. An ongoing study started in 1998 called the Global Consciousness Project uses REGs that are situated around the world and kept in electromagnetically shielded housings to avoid external disturbances. Following major events such as 9/11, the Olympics, the US elections, and so on, these REGs have shown clearly recognizable patterns and readings. For instance, over an hour before the first plane hit the Twin Towers, the readings showed a fluctuation in common numbers, the highest for that year. Roughly 8 hours after the second plane hit the towers, the score dropped to the lowest point recorded that year. The data also reflects the various levels of consciousness activity that occur throughout the day. The readings rise during the working day and fall dramatically during the night. New quantum theory accounts for both the internal and external mechanisms that shape reality. Most mathematical theory explaining the operations of physical nature negates the central fact that cognition, as an observer of reality, adds an entirely new dimension to how we coexist and co-create our lives. The impact of human consciousness on reality, apart from the behavior-action consequences, is largely due to the quantum dynamics of nerve terminals that create the link between nerve cells in the brain. This transfer of energy between synapses is just one known source of thought energy or vibration, which studies have also shown can impact the past, the present, and the future. Consider the fact that the subatomic structure of solid mass makes up less than 1% of an atom's size. Some scientists assert that the distance between orbiting electrons and the nucleus of an atom can be compared to the distance between continents, and the distance between atoms in a solid object may be compared to the vastness between planets. Therefore, it may be counterintuitive, but a brick wall is mostly empty space. In other words, reality cannot be inherently understood as per the messages we receive from our human senses alone. To date, however, humans' perception of the world has been molded by religious suppositions and past scientific discovery. Yet clinging to past perspectives will not reveal nor describe the secrets of human consciousness and its impact on the universe. The idea that humans are sensory animals designed to merely experience reality passively cannot coexist in conjunction with the new discoveries in quantum science. Instead, new data shows that we are, consciously or unconsciously, influencing and creating the results we experience in our everyday lives. Contemporary physics draws fewer conclusions and in many cases inspires further questioning. But in this process, we recognize that nature is richer than the models humans use to describe it. In essence, perception is not reality, but it becomes so when we believe only what we already know and disregard other possibilities. If our mentality becomes our reality, then changing the way we view thought and its relationship to the physical world must precede any advancement and enhancement of our own current condition.
Right, so there he was explaining, and it's really beautiful if you ever get a chance to check out this test. It's really beautiful with these crystals, and it was an actual experiment that was done in New York, and people were given over to different moods, and by their mood, they were able to basically create a certain shape in a crystallization in the water. And like it said, I mean, that's powerful. You know, the thing about this is, you know, when I said, like, in the chat room, I've decoded the New World Order, what I mean is this. I have decoded their system of illusion. And to reverse that is the biggest thing, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Now, this has to do with psychology. Psychology and basically related sciences were able to continue for many years by either ignoring the brain entirely or at best treating it as a black box, okay, whose rules of operation could be understood without reference to its internal contents or composition. Now, the human brain, without doubt, is the most complex organ known in the universe. It is physical and biological, and also produces energy. Also, you're going to be, you know, many of you will also learn tonight that the heart also controls the brain. Yes, your actual heart, the muscle, not your feeling soul, but the actual muscle, the heart in your chest. And we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. So it has been, it's basically been to scientific probing, okay, without the intervention of such considerations as what needs to take place. Basically, what's going on is they're not really looking at the brain, okay. Now, quantum physics, and you look at the science of the brain and physiology and things like that. Now, if you mesh these together, we're going to have a clearer understanding. Now, what am I talking about? Well, the heart produces what's called neuropeptides. And what is neuropeptides? Well, it also produces oxytocin. And these two elements is what creates your reality. Remember, the world is an illusion, okay, and we are all taking part of this illusion, okay, and your life, everything in it, everything that you go through, all your circumstances have actually been created by you. Believe it or not, even the ones that you think are unfair and your circumstances that may be very critical and some others may be very harsh. Maybe, you know, I have very critical circumstances right now, you know, being displaced out of being able to work with my health problems and just, you know, I don't want to sit up here and do the wow thing with you. But basically, you know, I see how going through this and performing these techniques that we're going to go over actually starts to begin to train yourself. And people say at the New Age, and there's a big difference. I want to kick that in the bucket really quick. You know, New Ageism and spirituality with God and all this other thing. First of all, we have to understand New Age has a lot of truth to it. Now, here's the difference between spirituality, say oneness with God, and New Ageism. New Age focuses on the ego. It's very self-oriented, okay? Whereas spirituality, when you're connecting with your creator, that is removing the ego, you see? So that's living for something greater than yourself, which is a higher achievable life, okay? It's more satisfying, put it that way. It's much more satisfying to live for something greater than yourself. Now, there are people who don't believe in God that still live for something greater than themselves, and that could be their children or spouse, family and friends and whatnot. But total fulfillment is really your connection back to the Creator. Now, New Ageism actually has been usurped by many ancient, very, very ancient techniques and philosophies and theories. And this is going to be a nice transition into my next series with the Sumerian tablets and Nibiru, and we're going to get into that too. So basically, we're going to get back to the brain now. I'm kind of rambling, but I wanted to lay out some footwork. Now, first we look at basically the neuropeptides. Well, the neuropeptides are actually created in your heart, and what their job description is this. When you are emotional, if you have an emotional charge, if all emotions, okay, and you can put any name in there. You can put anger, jealousy, lust, happiness, joy, sadness, depression, anything that has to do with emotion. When you get a stimulus from the outside, your reaction, and then you react with an emotion. What happens is your heart pumps out what's called neuropeptides, and that sends a signal to your brain to basically respond in whatever manner the emotion is driving. You see, so back in the beginning of the series, if you remember, for those of you that have actually been following this, I said that we are all emotional junkies. Okay, every one of us. I'm not limited to this. Every one of us human beings. We are all emotional junkies. Now, with this neuropeptide thing, we also have what's called oxytocin. And here's the thing. The reason I'm giving this is it's very physical, it's physiological. It is because people in the New Age want to try to get this ascension thing to higher consciousness and super consciousness by meditation. You can't. If you want to change, you know, if you want to change your life, I've always said you have to change your perspective, right? And in order to do that, you've got to take control of your emotions. So positive attracts positive. Living life is in the balance of the positive and the negative, okay? That is where you can properly function, is in the balance of the two. Now, many of you may be in mostly in the negative, and you're wondering why you've got all this crap going on in your life. It seems like every time you wake up, there's a new drama or some bullshit going on. And some of you maybe, I don't know many people who are constantly in the positive. You know, I don't even know if that's possible. You know, I suppose if you wanted to sign up to be a monk or something, you know, I don't know. Anyways, so basically it's about finding that balance. And it's really not about 100% meditation. There's an actual process physiologically that you can train your brain, and I'm going to teach you how to do this. But first we need to lay out what is it that's going on. So we have neuropeptides that your heart produces that's triggered through emotion, okay, an outside stimulus. It triggers this emotion, and then it sends the signal to your brain through the synapses, okay? And once it reaches your brain, it goes through a synapses process. And then that's when you either get a fight or flight syndrome. If you're, if you're attacked or something big happens, you're going to automatically respond because your brain clicks over. Those receptors receive the signal, and it's produced from your heart through the emotion, okay? And then you act accordingly. So if you're in a rage, if somebody's in a rage of anger, okay, what's going on is they have this signal into their brain, and all of a sudden they can't think clearly. All they're doing is thinking out of anger, you see. And so this emotion, it's basically drowning their whole bloodstream with this neuropeptide. Now, so there are receptor sites in your brain for these neuropeptides, and if you have a life that's full of stress, okay, and drama, or it just seems like nothing goes your way, and you're just, it's like, I want to wake up and go, okay, I want to be happy today, and then you find, like, in an hour or two, you just got crap going on, and your whole thing with trying to be happy is right out the window. Well, there's a real reason for that, and the reason for that is because that your brain is addicted to those stressful emotions, you see, all of the emotions you get out of the stress and out of the drama. So you have so many receptors, and here's your brain. Millions and millions and millions of cells die off, and billions regenerate. So, you know, it's got this renewing constantly going on in your brain. And it's used to, it's basically going, feed me, you know, the right neuropeptide, because your brain is literally like a drug addict to whatever emotion that you're addicted to. So getting this, and here it takes a step further. Now go with me here, okay? Once this is released, okay, once your brain starts sending the signals, your brain then sends electricity kind of energy around you. And then once that energy is permeating from you, think of it like an AM wave from a radio, okay? You're sending out this negative energy from this emotion, you know. Then what happens out in the universe, you know, out in our world, out in your world, is your life literally starts pulling in other negative shit. So you basically have this just conglomeration of constant negativity. And so in your mind, you're going, dang it, I really want to change this, but I don't know how. Well, I'm going to teach you how. So here's that. So we've got the neuropeptide understanding. Now we're going to move on to what oxytocin is. Now, oxytocin is actually a manufactured synthetic drug that they've come up with, but it's actually also, and this is where it comes from, this also comes out of, it's a hormone, okay? In humans, oxytocin is thought to be released during hugging, touching, orgasm of both sexes, anything that has that ecstasy kind of feeling, you know, the overwhelming love feeling and the happy, and the, you know, all the happy stuff, okay? So in the brain, oxytocin is involved in social recognition and bonding, and maybe also in, or is also involved in the formation of trust between people and generosity. Trust. There's a big thing. There's a big word there called trust. And here we are understanding that we can't trust our world leaders. We can't trust politicians. We can't trust the world, basically. So, you know, there's an oxytocin dysfunction going on because of those kinds of things. And we're going to keep going here. In women, it is released in large amounts after distension of the cervix and vagina during labor and after stimulation of the nipples. It's not graphic, this is scientific, so bear with me. Facilitating birth and breastfeeding, respectively, synthetic oxytocin is sold as medication under the trade names Pitocin and Sintocin, as well as generic oxytocin. Now, the actions of oxytocin within the brain is it's secreted from the pituitary gland and cannot re-enter the brain because of the blood-brain barrier. Instead, the behavioral effects of oxytocin are thought to reflect release from the central projecting oxytocin neurons, different from those that project to the pituitary gland. Oxytocin receptors are expressed by neurons in many parts of the brain and spinal cord, including the amygdala and the ventral medial, hypothalamus, septum, and brainstem. So it's responsible for sexual arousal, bonding, and trust, reducing fear, increasing trust and reducing fear. And that is very important, especially when it has to do with attracting positivity in your life instead of negativity. And, you know, this is something important for people like you and me because we do not trust the world at large. Well, we need to fix this little dysfunction chemical in our brain. You think you don't have it, you got it. It's very scientific. So we can actually turn this around, though, and without having to trust anybody, that's not the problem. It's about reducing fear. By what? By trusting in something higher and greater and also trusting in yourself. So you're gonna replace the distrust with the world at large that we don't trust, and we're going to take that and place it with back within ourselves, our environment, the God who we serve, and live for something greater. Now, what do we do, basically? What is it? It's basically You got to train your brain. Put it this way. Everybody follow me for a minute. I want everybody, and you're going to feel like an idiot, but just go with me. If you stop for a minute and smile, just smile. Yes, come on, smile. Physically smile. Put your cheeks up and smile. Smile, everybody. One, every single one of you do it right now, seriously. Right, this is an experiment. I want you to do it. Tell me in the chat room if you're doing it. I'm not going to go further until you tell me you're doing it. Come on. I'm sitting here smiling and laughing. Okay, smile. 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 Okay. I'll stop it. Okay. All right, now you got it going. You're laughing. All right, that right there, now inside, did you get a little feeling? Okay, that little feeling, like if you're driving down the street, you got to make yourself smile. If you physically make yourself smile, what happens is it triggers that neuropeptide production in your heart. It sends it to the brain, and it starts putting out positive energy. What's going on is you're starting to feed your brain. You're starting to create new receptors for a new emotion. This is real science, people. It really works. So, you know, forget all the yoga and meditation and trying to get yourself ascended to the ascended masters and all the crap that goes with that. You know what? This is real stuff. And here's the thing. If you start practicing smiling and just, you know, like if I'm typing, what I will do from now on is I'm just going to sit there and just smile sometimes. Because what I'm doing is maybe other people might think I'm an idiot, but what I'm doing is very real. I'm literally creating new receptors. Now, here's what's going on. Back to the scenario of, okay, I really want to focus on being happy because I want to create this positive energy so that I start attracting positive things in my life and I have this, you know, just positive life. Well, you try this and then, you know, you wake up to do this. And like I said, usually it always fails. Why? Because your brain's going, feed me those stress ones. I want the ones with your stress and your tension. And I'm so addicted to those. And I'm going to get some drama going for you. And your life's going to attract drama and tension because you're a dramatic and tenseful person. And, you know, you're just about ready to have a heart attack. But I don't care. Feed me, Seymour. That's what your brain is like literally doing. Think of your brain is like an emotional junkie. Okay, it's your brain, and you can take control back over that, okay? And Blue Moon says laughter also releases endorphins. Absolutely. And see, this is all real. Now, this seems kind of quirky to you maybe, but if you guys really start applying this and doing these techniques, you're going to see change, I promise you. So here is some of the physical techniques you can do is starting to make yourself smile daily and for long periods of time. When you're driving in the car, smile. You know they're contagious. You just look at someone and smile, they're going to smile back, right? So it's fun too. So, but actually you're training your brain. And now here's the real scientific evidence. Your brain, like I said earlier, many, you know, millions and millions of cells die off, okay? It's this whole progress that takes place. Your all those receptor cells, they only like last for so long, and then your brain has to rebuild new ones. So you have brand new baby receptors, and if you train those baby receptors with these now new happy ones, okay, this new emotion, then what's going to happen is your brain over time, with, you know, I don't know how long the time is measured, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, but what happens is your brain, your receptors are now getting onto a new emotion. You're getting them off one drug and you're putting them off the other, all in the way of neuropeptides triggered through the emotional response that you yourself can control. Does that make sense? Okay, so in the Bible, for all of the Bible people in the chat room, I am one myself, but I'm not going to Bible thump you, but I am going to say this, that there are many meditations in the Bible and scriptures that say to meditate on the goodness. Why do you suppose it says that? There's a reason for things that are said, okay? And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, you know, all those wonderful feelings, peace and love and, you know, all that stuff. And it says to focus on the good things. Well, there's a reason. I think Jesus was a scientist. He, come on, give him some credit. There's a reason for it. It's the brain, okay? So How many times do you realize that Christ said, do not fear, or not just Christ, actually, throughout the Bible, the most used verse is fear not. In fact, it is said 365 times, okay? 365 times. That is once a day throughout the entire year, okay? Fear not. There's a reason for this. Okay, so now we're trying to train our brain. So there's a couple other techniques I want to get through as well. But the one is smiling. It seems kind of, I don't know what the word is, elementary, but it's a real process that you're training your brain with new receptor sites, okay? So, and here's where it's most important is not just sitting around smiling, but when you are geared towards that emotion that your brain's addicted to, and you know which ones they are when it happens, it's either the stress, okay, something that's going to get your heart rate going, stress, high blood pressure, maybe a girlfriend or a boyfriend or somebody who gets under your skin. They know what buttons to push. And what happens, you're triggered to that feeling of anger or resentment or whatever name you want to put on it. That's the most critical time that you make yourself smile. You don't have to do it in front of somebody. You can go excuse yourself to the bathroom and just sit on the toilet for a minute or look at yourself in the mirror, make some goofy faces at yourself or whatever, just to get yourself to smile, or just make yourself physically smile, even if you don't feel like it, because that is the process of killing those receptors that are looking for the neuropeptides of the negative emotions, you see. You're literally killing those receptors in your brain. And when you kill them enough and you start replacing them with this what the smile produces, you're going to be able to handle stress better. You're going to be able to have a more calm manner about yourself. You're going to be able to think more clearly. And this is all good stuff, right? I mean, this is what it's about. This is the nuts and bolts of everything that I've been teaching. Excuse me, I have to have some coffee. coffee. It's my new drug. All right, anyways. Okay, so now we're going to get on oxytocin. How do you produce oxytocin? Okay, we just went over how to produce the neuropeptides of the positive emotions and training your brain with new receptor sites so you can handle stress better in your life and overall well-being. Now we're going to get on to the oxytocin. This is more of a physical thing. Oxytocin is triggered through touch. I'm not saying to go, you know, yeah. What I'm saying is do things that are sensual but not sexual. And that is, you know, men and women both can do this. Have a lit candle, have some stimuli, and maybe take a hot bath. That's a physical. That is a physical thing. When you get out of the bath, lotion your skin. You know, really like make yourself feel good. Do you see what I'm saying? And no, I'm not saying to touch yourself sexually. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, pamper yourself. That's what I'm looking for. Find ways to pamper yourself, okay? Women can do all kinds of fun stuff like facial masks and, you know, doing, you know, hair, hot oil treatments, things like that. Men can do these things too. This is stimulating to your body. This is what produces oxytocin. And the oxytocin, when it's needed, is during the stress times. You want to end your day with this kind of note sometimes, especially if you've had one of those harder days, is doing this pampering, because you're going to increase those oxytocin levels in your bloodstream, and that actually lowers your blood pressure, and this actually starts to get this cycle going of reprogramming and pretty much redialing, kind of refiguring your brain and how it is actually put together. How, you know, the way you've been operating now, okay, is dysfunctional. So it's about reprogramming. You know, that's my whole specialty is deprogramming from the world, reprogramming your mind, this whole thing. And now you guys are getting into this with me. Where's my notes? Yeah, too much coffee. Yes, I'm wired. So what? Coffee. It's about fun and laughter and seriousness with me. I don't know. It's just, you know, yeah, defragging your brain. Like, that's good, Baldy. It's kind of like that, you know. Incense used properly. Anion says, Anonymous says, yes, incense used properly is one. That's a physical thing because that smell, you're trying to get your senses involved. And that's what releases the oxytocin, and the oxytocin is what gives you that calm effect. And like I said, if you can get these little things put into your life and actually make an effort doing these, you're going to find a huge difference, really. I mean, I'm not even joking about this stuff, guys. It's really awesome. Let me go over my, so we have to train our brain, we have to retrain our brain, okay, and that is a real thing. We are emotional junkies, we have to learn to take control of those, and these are the techniques to do so. So, imagine how long Wednesday wait for all those little cubes, defrag your brain. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's good. All right, I think I should probably play a commercial or two because I'm really bad at remembering that. So if you give me a minute, let's see. Control fine. So we're going to run some ads. All right, we'll be right back, you guys. Number, call in. You know, call in. Get active with me. What's your thoughts on this? 347-324-3704. And in the next part of the show, we're going to get into some more, a little bit about quantum physics, and then we're going to get into the darker side. I'm going to talk a little bit about Alice Bailey and Helen Blavatsky and the United Nations. What has that got to do with anything? Well, stick around and find out. We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah, baby. You know what time it is. Freak on with your host, Max Casey, right here on the Black Market Liberty Show, Mondays at 7 Central.
When we open our minds to the incredible, unlimited universe, we become participants in the active flow and infinite energy of life. We begin to live a much larger experience. We become free. In the magical universe, there are no coincidences and there are no accidents. You are here. You found Freedomizer Radio. See, the power in you is about sharing the light of who you are, exploring different points of view, different perspectives on topics for better health for your mind and your body. Join Miss Cookie and me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and grow the light of who you are right here at Freedomizer Radio.
Ava Quijada in Reno, what are you doing on Freedomizer Radio on Thursdays 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays at 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
And I am going to be hosting the Heated Conversation.
Please join us as we talk about UFOs, weather, planets, asteroids, earthquakes, spirituality, HARP, secret societies, and current events. I think we should add that we always have great guests to pack chat room and very interesting conversations. With your occasional quirky way we give the news.
Just remember, on Thursdays at 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the Heated Conversation. Oh, and by the way, we have our always fun chat room at freedomizerradio.com. That's freedomizerradio.com. Just click the chat and listen button. See you there.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Val Volano Show right here on Freedomizer Radio. And for those of you that are over in the Blog Talk Radio chat room, cruise on over to freedomizerradio.com and check out our chat room because it is pretty lively and always fun. We've got about 15 hours of shows a day waiting for you. So, okay, back to this. So we have to take note of our mental environment and understand that our mental environment is more powerful than the physical. The physical isn't what really matters, okay? Now, for instance, here's the thing. Do this little experiment with me. Close your eyes. Come on. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Stop chatting. I know it's so addicting. But really, close your eyes. Now, picture in your mind, okay, picture in your mind a little puppy. Okay? See the little puppy? Okay. And you can see a little puppy looking at you, and you know it's a little puppy, right? Right. Now, all the while your eyes are closed, you know it's very dark, but you can see a little puppy in your mind. Now, turn around and try to look at yourself. How do you know you're there? Who are you? That's the moment of existence, you see. And this is what the New World Order manipulates. You see, when we're talking about the New World Orders, we're going to get into Blavatsky and Alice Bailey in a few minutes here. This is the playing field. This is how they create the illusion, okay? They have been studying with their scientists for, you know, a very long time, at least on record since the 50s, with all their black op experiments and things on people. You know, you've heard them all. Anyways, there's a lot more than that. And they've been studying population psychology. They've been studying social and cultural trends. They've been studying crisis within people. You know, they know all this stuff. You know, they're that far ahead of the ball game. And we need to get on that playing field. So what they do is they create the illusion of the world. They create all of what's going on, okay? And if we have an understanding that, if we understand how it is created and that we are being used to create it by the New World Order, okay, through their global reality illusion, okay, then we can start taking the reins back. And I believe that there is a shift in consciousness coming, and they know it too. This thing has been dated back to antiquity. Okay, it's called the cycle of the ages. It's real stuff, people. And they're waiting for it. And when it happens, okay, we're all of the slaves out there, all the sheeple, are going to fall right into their world power. How do you think some kind of antichrist type is ever going to rule the world? I don't particularly believe in that, but, you know, a lot of people do. Bible says so. You know, I think it's more spiritual, and I can explain that in a later show. But anyways, how can one person have an influence over many? You know, look at Jim Jones. Look at all those things. There's so many cults out there. One person having control of many people. Well, the New World Order has their control globally, okay, because why? They've been creating the illusion, and they're using us to create it, our energy. Okay, everything that you see on the television, you know how they plaster negative shit all the time, go, 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 you know, kill, kill, kill. You know, they throw images of stuff in your face to what? To stir your emotions, because they know this neuropeptide thing is the key to their illusion making. Because why? We're emotional junkies. We're human nature. That is just what we are. So they use that, you see, to create this illusion. And of course, they also have things like HARP, which, you know, certain frequencies, they can really screw with you. But here's the thing. You can become untouchable. It even says in the scriptures, by all means, nothing shall hurt you. Nothing. Nothing means nothing means nothing means nothing. Not a zilch. That goes for GMO foods. That goes for you know, their little cyber wars, that goes for, you know, all their crap, their harp, everything. It's all illusion. But here's the thing, is this level of knowledge that we're learning here through this series, it shields you from any outside interference, okay? And it connects you directly with your creator. Because all of those things, your creator, God, is positive, okay? All loving, all merciful, you know, in Christ even said, think and meditate on the good things. The fruits of the Holy Spirit, those are all positive things. None of it in there says go kill somebody who doesn't believe the way you do. nothing in there says that anything about punishment and, you know, all the negative crap that goes on in life. It's all positive. There's a reason for it, because that actually creates this shield around you. You know, this sounds like a pseudoscience to some of you, maybe. I don't know. But you know what? This is real stuff. This is real stuff. And we can reverse it, you know, connecting with other people. Why is a smile contagious? Why is a yawn contagious? You know, something triggers in our mind and we react. That, or it just makes you mad because, you know, you ever have one of those arguments where you're mad because they made you laugh when you were mad? And you're like, damn it, I want to be mad, and you're making me laugh, you know, kind of thing. I've had those arguments with my ex-husband. It's like, you know, really funny. I remember one time I was so pissed off I was leaving. So I was going inside, and we're yelling at each other the whole time. And I'm going in, and I'm packing stuff, and I'm taking it out to the car. And I turn around, and I go back in, and we're going at it. And I'm packing more stuff, and I turn around, and I go back out. I did this about 3 or 4 times before I realized that I knew he was following me, but what he was doing was he was unloading the car. Every time I went back in the house, he took the load back into the house. And I stopped and realized what he was doing, and I started busting up in laughter. And I was really mad because I wanted to be mad. But the laughter got it triggered out, and we actually worked it out. You know, so I know this works. I hope this has helped you some. I want to get over now to Alice Bailey, like I said, and Blavatsky, because this is part of their illusion. Let me get over here. Okay, so Alice Bailey, Blavatsky was actually the true spiritualist. Alice Bailey kind of usurped her own ideas. She had a darker agenda. Unfortunately, if you do a Google search, you're going to find everybody's blogs and sites that say that they're both evil. I do not believe Blavatsky was evil. She was 100% spiritualist, where Alice Bailey had more political motives. And as many of you know, Alice Bailey founded Lucis Trust. And I'm going to sit this into the chat room here, this link. Go ahead and check that out. This is an actual picture inside the United Nations where they always sit with 666 behind them. That is a Google image. That's why that link is so long. But for those of you interested, go ahead and check that out. Unless you've seen it before, then don't bother. It's basically the picture of the United Nations headquarters, and it has the big 666 behind it. I believe the more upset you are, the more things pop up to make you worse. You can get stuck. Exactly, Mo, and that's the thing is, that's what I was saying earlier with this whole trying to change your receptors, okay? Your receptors are literally going through like a withdrawal. So what they're going to do is they're going to pull out into the universe and bring in negative to feed their hunger, to feed its hunger to fill that receptor. Because in the process of killing a receptor, it's called withdrawal. And this is the same thing. It's very physical, very real. It's the same thing that happens with any withdrawal that you go through. He's quitting cigarettes. This is the hardest freaking thing in my life, is trying to quit cigarettes. It's like, wow, you know, I've done every drug there is to do besides putting a needle in my arm. I've never done that and never would. But I'm just saying, you know, like I've gone through all that stuff in my 20s. You know, I'm 40 years old. That's all behind me. That's ancient history. But, and it's part of it, you know, I talk about it openly because it's part of my, testimony. Through Christ delivering me. But anyways, trying to quit smoking, it's like, oh my God, I feel every freaking receptor in my body going crazy. I want to like poke somebody's eyes out and like saute them in butter and then feed it to them with a fork, you know. I mean, I get, it's like violent. So I'm going to have to do the patch. So that's the thing, is I'm going to buy the patch because I tried to cold turkey and it lasted till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That was it for me. I was ready to kill somebody. The withdrawals were horrible. So it's no different than what your brain goes through when you're starting to kill receptors. It's really starting to get nasty with you. Like, that's it. you know, I'm going to produce nothing but negative energy coming out from you, because negative energy coming out from you is going to attract something negative to come at you so I can get my fill, my fix on that emotion. It's real stuff, real stuff. Okay, Alice Bailey, I keep getting sidetracked. It's because I look at the chat room and then something sparks. Let me check the switchboard. Okay, cool. Nobody wants to talk to me. Fine. What are y'all doing here? I'm just kidding. All right, so we've got Alice Bailey, and 32, Alice Bailey, just really quick history, and her husband, who is a 32-degree Freemason, Foster Bailey, started World Goodwill, an official non-governmental organization within the United Nations. World Goodwill has three stated aims, and that is to help mobilize the energy of goodwill, to cooperate in the work of preparation for the reappearance of the Christ, to educate public opinion on the causes of the major world problems, and to help create the thought form of solution. This right here is fuming with energy and illusion. Do you not hear that? This is how far back it goes. This is 1932, okay? And she was a student of Helen Blavatsky, and Blavatsky was a spiritualist. And her work is actually very extraordinary. And, you know, the whole, you know, if you guys are getting up in arms because I'm not, you know, I'm not talking bad about her, you know, my thing is have you actually done your own critical theory and critical thinking on the research on it? Or are you parroting what other people are saying because it's a popular trend? You know, that's the thing, and that's what bugs me the most is, you know, somebody or the majority will tell you what to believe and you just go with it. Oh, she's evil. She said the word Lucifer, she's evil. Or she said the word, you know, light. An angel, and, you know, whatever. I'm just throwing out, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, don't go with the flow. You know what I mean? Be the one that swims upstream. And it takes a little work to swim upstream. That means that you're applying this critical thinking. You're coming to your own conclusions. You're not doing or thinking the way somebody tells you. It's no different in eschatology today, in all of their theories with the end time prophecies and all those things. You know, there's a lot of fundamental views out there, very popular. I stay away from popular trends. I stay away from popular beliefs, you know, because that is part of this whole, you're defeating your purpose. That's part of the illusion. And if you come to the final understanding that Satan is in control of this world, including the church, then you might get it. You know, quit with the whole, you know. Okay, so we've got Helena Blavatsky, getting back here. This is part of where the root of a lot of this, the New World Order has basically taken these theories of Blavatsky. Bailey took them and put a political agenda with it. And that's where the New World Order comes in, is with Bailey, mostly with Bailey, not so much with Blavatsky, because if you actually study Blavatsky's work, you would see that it's very, very different than Bailey. Okay, you can see the difference. There's a big difference. So quick on her is 1875, Blavatsky and Olcott established a research and publishing institute called the Theosophical Society. Blavatsky defined theosophy as the archaic wisdom religion, the esoteric doctrine once known in every ancient country having claims to civilization. The reason why her work has interested me is because I think that it was brilliant. Because if you want to understand what and who God is, and that's what we're going to get into the Sumerian text program. If you want to understand who and what God is, you've got to understand that you've got to go clear back to antiquity. You've got to go so far back and understand all the different cultures and their views of God. And then, you know, if you go back and actually study this stuff, not just do what your pastor tells you and go with the flow and, you know, go with your conditioning, your program that you're in. Get out of your program. Think for yourself. I'm not saying to do, you know, to go worship Satan. I'm saying to go study God in all of its pantheons. And if you do that, you're going to understand a lot more of why Christ came. You're going to understand who he came from. You're going to understand all of those things. You're going to understand where the deception is, and this is part of the illusion, okay? The illusion, the given reality. You always got to question the given reality. Take, you know, a lot of you going to get all butthurt, but take the rapture theory. That doctrine wasn't even introduced to mankind until the 19th century. Was it the late 18th? It was right in there. Early 19th, late 18th. I forget the actual year now. But anyways, it's a new doctrine. I'm here and talk about that. There's an ascension, yeah, but not the way that this is interpreted today. You know, you've got lost books, which is wonderful. We're finding all of these lost ancient manuscripts that give us so much insight into the world that used to be here, you know, many, many moons ago, and what their, theologies were. It's very interesting, you know. I just think that people need to study more and not just take verbatim what general popular belief is, because all you're doing is inducing yourself to slavery, and you're not doing yourself any justice with trying to get deprogrammed from this world. So Helena Blavatsky, I don't agree with all of her stuff, you know. I do have a discerning mind, but I believe that what she did was pretty cool, because she basically was talking about, you know, keeping God involved in spirituality, whereas Alice Bailey actually removed God, as much as, you know, some of her stuff claims with the Jesus. Very different. So we've got the Dead Sea Scrolls. We've got the Nag Hammadi Library, for those interested. Check that out. Those are the Lost Gospels. Peter wrote four books. Only two were Aladdin's and in the Bible. And they have they've been authenticated as the same time that the original Peter, Book of Peters, were written. So this is a real work. And here's the thing about that history is that Irenaeus actually deemed all of the Gnostic Christians out there you know, heretical, and he even gone out and killed them, hunted them down like animals and killed them. The reason for that is because the Gnostic Christians, you know, they had the original works of the Bible that you have today, plus the other books. They had a complete set to study, and they studied from all of these books, and they did not need the church or a man to call father or to call pastor like you're not supposed to have, but that's, you know, that's me, so the scripture says. But they found their relationship with God as being you know, individual and unique, and that's the way it's intended to be. And because of that, they wouldn't take the authority, because of that they would not be under the authority of the church, and that pissed off Irenaeus to take all of their books, the main ones that they liked, and basically deemed them all heretical, and basically stopped them out and killed them. This is part of our history. Constantine, he's a pagan, you know. Gnostic only means knowledge. By the way, it's not like druids or pagans or anything of that nature. Gnostic simply means the ones who know, or the ones with knowledge. And this is they followed Jesus Christ. These Gnostic Christians were very faithful to Jesus Christ, and because of this, you know, it's definitely something to check out. So Nag Hammadi, Dead Sea Scrolls, we've got Sumerian tablets. We're going to get into that, and definitely church history is really important. You have to understand how the Bible was assembled to understand the Bible. Understanding what books, you know, were not permitted, and the reasons why, and that's the most important. Why weren't those books permitted? There's three reasons why they weren't. One, it put women in a higher position in their practices. Also, it says that there is no eternal hell. That hell, in fact, it came out of the book of Peter, that Peter describes hell being tormented, and actually everything the Bible describes it as, but that eventually one person would be reunited with God. All the culmination is about reunification with God, and since we have a part of God in all of us, then we would all return to Him. Anyways, you know, this stuff, you know, yeah, it's controversial, and not many will agree, and nobody ever agrees 100%. And I certainly don't ever expect anybody to ever agree 100% with me either. But anyways, at least I'd like to get your stimulate your mind into debating these ideas. And instead of knocking it, go read it for yourself and, you know, apply your own thinking instead of just cashing it off as, oh, that's bad because who said it's bad? The church said it's bad. That means you're still under authority of the church. That means you're under the authority of Irenaeus and Constantine still. Why? Because they said it. Okay. Anyways, there was another thing I wanted to talk about. So that is the core of this whole understanding energy fields, understanding creating illusion, everything, all these tactics of the New World Order. I prefer to say Satan, because Satan actually controls the New World Order. But anyways, the evil people out there, this is how they operate, and this is the basis of it. And they understand that through certain things and through certain ancient knowledge and wisdom, one can attain being a master, right, of Earth, of over people. And these are the power-hungry elitists, and this is why they're doing it. You know, they all have a spirituality, every single one of them. It's just they are dedicated to their own mission, right? And Satan is the one controlling them. All right, so back to your life. You know, this is really about your life and how this changes. I've always said I believe that there is a definite change coming. I think there is something, absolutely something, to this Mayan thing. No, I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think it's, you know, presently, this may change, but presently I do not think it's Nibiru coming back. But we're going to get into this. And I'm going to wrap up this quantum stuff with the induction into the study of the Sumerians. The ancient Sumerians, who originated in the land of Sumer, which is now the country of Iraq, by the way, existed in the biblical times that were recorded in the Old Testament of the Bible that Christians follow today. Their theory on creation of mankind describes alien life forms from the planet Nibiru, or Planet X, as some call it, which has yet to be discovered in our solar system. Much like the Mayans, the Sumerians had mapped out our solar system centuries before our modern technology could confirm that planets existed that were further than the naked eye could be seen. They depicted the planet Pluto being present thousands of years before our modern astronomers and scientists confirmed its existence in 1931. They told of other planets that contained water and described the color and surface of Jupiter. Information that cannot be confirmed until early 1980s when NASA sent a probe deep into our galaxy and discovered that the Sumerians had actually been accurate in their ancient depictions of the solar system that still remains a mystery to us today. Science has yet to explain how the Sumerians and the Mayans could possibly have known this hundreds of thousands of years before modern science discovered this information. Is that not just, like, so egotistical? I mean, wow. Whew. Not only is our present knowledge of our solar system and universe confirming this ancient knowledge, but is actually using it to further discover what lies beyond the Earth's atmosphere. So science is looking into ancient knowledge. You know, it always has, it always will, but right now presently they've been taken a lot more serious because the ancients knew more than we know. Something got lost along the way. Something major in us that's like really programmed in us that we're supposed to be has been lost along the way. We've become dumbed down. Okay, and once we were enlightened beings, and we understood the power of sound technology, just, you know, and vibrations and light and dark, and we understand those things, or they understood those things at a much higher capacity than we do today. Something somewhere along the line got lost, and in order to go discover what got lost, you know, to identify what it was that we lost, we have to go back and study. And there's really no sense in any of you going back to study if you have a predefined idea that's so thick-headed that you're not going to be open to what you may learn. And there's a big difference there. I mean, it's huge, really. So this is going to set up the picture for our next series coming up. And this is going to get really super deep. And it's going to offend many of you. And it's not me offending you. It's me bringing you knowledge that will offend you. I'm excited about it. My thing, how I go into this stuff, before we get into another clip here, we've got about 15 minutes left. Before I go into anything new, okay, and before I decide to take anything out of what I've learned, I always keep my mind centered in Christ. That's me. Nothing can take me or detour me away from that. But I've also read books where Christ spoke in many other books in those lost gospels, and he had this much higher knowledge of teaching in these other books. And these were the books that were burned. They weren't allowed. Because why? Because the church wouldn't be able to rule over man. Because we would all be able to find our own destiny with God. And that's the way Christ intended, by the way. Okay. So, anyways, I just did my rant. So, lightening up here a little bit. Don't forget Whiskey a Go-Go this Wednesday at 10:30. We're going to have a blast. I've done some promos on YouTube, and I'm getting all kinds of fun musicians and comedians coming up and submitting their work. So I'm having a ball with that. I am nothing like this personality on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, nothing serious is allowed. We just have fun. We get goofy. It's dangerous. It's edgy. And we will be prank calling other live shows on BTR. There's a little sneak preview of what's going to go on. Anyways, that's what I used to do. It was a lot of fun. Okay, so I wanted to spend about... this is an awesome clip. Go ahead and listen to this, and then we're going to wrap up here on quantum physics, and we're going to be moving into the Sumerian studies next week, next Monday. Don't miss it. It's so exciting. We're going to go through pantheons of antiquity. We're going to talk about Solomon's ring, study that. how he commanded demons to build his temple, yet God loved him. Wonder what that means.
In the beginning, there was nothing. Somehow, out of this nothing, came everything.
Out of this vibrant nothingness, matter, energy, space, time, consciousness, mind, emerged, came out.
How is it that something as unconscious as the matter of the brain can ever give rise to something as immaterial as an experience?
If you want to see fear in a quantum physicist's eyes, just mention the words, the measurement problem. The measurement problem is this. An atom only appears in a particular place if you measure it. In other words, an atom is spread out all over the place until a conscious observer decides to look at it. So the act of measurement or observation creates the entire universe.
Only conscious beings can be observers, then we're intimately hooked in to the very existence of reality. Without us, there would just be this expanding superposition of possibilities with nothing definite ever actually happening.
Out of millions and millions of blobs of energy and light, photons and electrons, they make up this imaginary three-dimensional solid world, which doesn't exist at all according to relativity or quantum mechanics.
Anytime we attempt to look at particles beyond a certain level, the very act of observation changes things.
And in addition, the more you look at individual particles, the more you realize that there is no such thing as one electron. An electron or any elementary particle exists only in relationship to other things, like other particles or the universe at large. This means that deeply enough, when you dive down into the nature of matter, everything we know about the everyday world dissolves. There are no objects anymore, there are only relationships. There's no locality anymore, there's no time anymore. The more you look at something in detail, in what we think of as solid matter, the less and less solid it begins to look.
The only realities we know are the ones our brain manufactures. Our brain receives millions of signals every minute, and we organize them into holograms, which we project outside ourselves and call reality.
Well, the brain cortex, if it is also a hologram, then it's a three-dimensional hologram. If two-dimensional holograms reconstruct three-dimensional images, then, ergo, it follows that three-dimensional holograms reconstruct four-dimensional images.
A hologram is a metaphor. It is how you take n dimensions of information and you bring them down into n minus one dimensions. It's a way of relating the paradoxes that we find in how to make a leap from this concept to that concept.
The conceptual pigeonholes we use, words, to describe reality are phenomena inside our head. They're not out there. And most of the time, this is a philosophical quibble. But when you get down to quantum physics, and this is one of the reasons that Bohm came up with the holographic idea, it starts to have real effects. And one of those is it's been discovered that if you take two subatomic particles like electrons, in certain instances, when you do something to one, it will always affect the other, no matter how far apart they are.
Well, how can this be? But what this tells us is that once matter is physically joined, even when it becomes separate, the energy is still there that's connecting it. And this is why it's important to me, because if we go back far enough in time, all the particles of matter of this entire universe that are expanding were all meshed together in a single particle about the size of a green pea, is what scientists tell us today, is what the computer model suggests. That if you could go into the universe today and take all the particles of matter and take out all the space in between and bring it together and compress it into a size of a single green pea, it means that you and me and every one of our listeners, we were all once part of that same particle that creates this whole universe today. And even though those particles are now separate and expanding, and studies show that they are, energetically we're all still linked.
So an atom and its electron are multiversal objects. And that multiversal object is what the quantum mechanics is describing. Now, that means that the parallel universe aspect of reality as described by quantum theory must apply to objects of all sizes. Humans, stars, galaxies, everything. And that's why we call it the parallel universe theory rather than just parallel electrons theory.
Because we ourselves are made of atoms, after all.
We are, that's right. And the same theory that says that the atoms exist in more than one place in different universes says that we humans also exist in more than one place and in more than one state of mind and so forth in different universes.
And so what that means, talking about words, is that there is no separation between electrons. Furthermore, there's no separation between people.
Everything is interconnected. And the biggest secret of all, to me, is the extent to which individuality is an illusion.
Illusion comes from how our minds perceive.
My illusion comes from my mind. Your illusion comes from your mind. You do not need to search
anywhere else for the source of illusion. Wherever we search externally, we cannot find the source of illusion because your illusions come from within your mind.
The big thing we're talking about here is a new way of thinking about this thing we call the person, the self, the beingness, the I. And as we begin to modify what we mean by that, we can begin to see and touch upon this infinite realm that I'm speaking about.
Infinities are part of the boundary of your existence. That is, viewed from this perspective, everything can be divided to infinity.
If you've ever wondered why nuclear power is a million times more powerful than chemical energy, it's because chemical energy results from the manipulation of atoms in a molecule. Nuclear energy results from the manipulation of nucleons in a nucleus. The super unified scale, 1,000,000,000,000,000 times smaller, is virtually infinite in its dynamism.
If you're seeking the infinite, what instruments do you have to seek the infinite? Only sense organs, isn't it? So through your sense organs, if you're seeking the infinite, it is like wanting to go to moon with a bullet cart. Isn't it so? That is the plight of humanity right now. With a limited perception, they're trying to grasp that is which is beyond.
So we try to perceive at the ultimate level of reality, and we search for any kind of method. For example, new technology, atomic power, etc. But search as we might, we cannot perceive the ultimate level of reality using these mechanisms. The ultimate level of reality is fundamentally empty
we cannot find
and not observable using these scientific methods.
Science is involved in a perceptual enterprise, not primarily in gaining knowledge, though knowledge appears, but knowledge is a byproduct. And by understanding the thing, you can coherently, then our contact with it, as long as it is coherent, it shows that our understanding is correct. You see, we must distinguish between correct appearances and incorrect appearances or illusory.
Your appearance now is what we call residual self-image. It is the mental projection of your digital self. What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, what you can taste, see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain.
Our brains take information in and sometimes give a form. It's not that the picture is out there, it's that we're getting data that we're turning into a picture according to our own belief systems and our own unconscious belief systems as well.
We know what is going on is that light comes in through the eyes, hits the back of the retina, triggers electrochemical impulses which travel down nerve fibers to the back of the brain, where the brain very cleverly, in about a tenth of a second, puts it all together and says, this is what it looks like out there.
Well, you're creating your own reality tunnel. That doesn't mean you're creating reality. Out of reality, whatever that is, out of the infinite flux of energy, you're creating your own reality tunnel, and most people aren't aware of it.
All matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration. That we are all one consciousness experiencing itself
subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we are the imagination of ourselves.
Well, there you have it, folks. Wrapping up the quantum physics series tonight. I hope you enjoyed this. You know, the thing about belief and different stuff, you guys, we're all here on our own mission. We're on our very own unique mission. And your mission is different than mine. And mine is different than yours. And yours is different than hers and his. And his and hers is different than yours. Get it? And there's no reason, and there's no room for anger. You know, there's that thing, smile! Oh, goodness. Oh, I hope I didn't get... Okay. I almost thought I dropped the call. Anyways, you know, there's no reason to be angry when somebody else doesn't, you know, if they're claiming to be Christian and have a different view than you, then whatever. That's their own. Let God work it out. You're not God. You're not the creator. Anyways, really quick, I wanted to read a quick thing that my beautiful daughter-in-law wrote, Ashley. It's titled, I Believe. If the planets line up and do end up ending the world, will there be a black hole sending us into another dimension, maybe, giving us infinite energy, infinite charge, and the opportunity to live as an atom? Is there truth somewhere in the Big Bang Theory? Is the black hole we know of really what we think of as it is? Is there even a thing that really happens that is called death? Being in a physical body is like being dead. You worry about what you wear and finances, the people around you, time, and when we get to leave our bodies and go on to another place, another dimension, time won't matter. It has no matter. This place will make me or break me, my ass. This place is a classroom for us to learn who we are and what we love. So he knows where to send us next. That was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and I'm hoping more young people think along these lines. God bless everybody. I'm out of here. Next Wednesday, Whiskey Go-Go. Look out, we're going to get crazy.